Labor Day weekend, end of 1995, he found himself escorted to a private booth in a newly opened club at the Hard Rock Hotel. Surrounded by strippers and starlets from L.A., Terry on his arm, Jill and Dylan one booth over but never making eye contact, and Tay on the dance floor, his head bouncing high over the crowd, Kevin watched the flickering lights and wondered if life could possibly get any better. He had $70,000 in a money belt around his waist and another $250,000 back in his room. Card counting was the key that had unlocked the casino's coffers, and there was no reason to think the party ever had to end. The next morning, as Kevin nursed a hangover while standing in the taxi line at O'Hare Airport, he impulsively decided it was time to quit his job. He didn't know what he was going to do next, but Vegas allowed him the freedom to seek out the life he wanted to live. He didn't have to make blackjack his profession, but it could cushion him between jobs. The weekend before he moved back to Boston, the entire team came out to Chicago to help him pack and throw him a coming home party. More important, they came to hit the Grand Victoria Riverboat in full force, because Vegas was in the downtime between Labor Day and New Year's Eve. By 9 p.m., they had managed to get all 12 playing members of the team on board the boat at the same time. Kevin had been designated BP for the evening, and the 11 others were spread out across the blackjack area, covering much of the casino. Kevin went from one hot deck to another with almost no time in between. He'd barely rise from Dylan's table before catching a call-in from Tay, then find himself passed from Tay to Jill, then to Martinez and Kiana and Brian. Soon his pockets were bulging with chips, and he had lost track of his winnings. He took a quick bathroom break, locking himself in one of the stalls. Then he stacked the chips in the toilet paper holder, careful not to drop any on the floor. They were positively killing the Grand Victoria. At least $90,000 in the past 4 hours. Kevin was riding high as he returned to the casino floor and was immediately called into Fisher's table, a positive 12 shoe. He was about to push $1,000 worth of chips onto the table when he froze, suddenly staring at a blackjack table 20 yards away. Sitting in the third base position was a short, stocky Indian kid in a light blue shirt and khaki pants. It was the same classmate he had seen in Vegas his first weekend with the team so long ago. Sanjay Das, from his sophomore physics class at MIT. Vegas might have been a coincidence, but this was a riverboat in Elgin, Illinois. Furthermore, as Kevin shifted his gaze past Sanjay to the next table, he saw another familiar face. A Japanese kid with thick glasses and a plaid shirt. Sanjay Das' roommate. Kevin shook his head, blown completely out of character. He could tell that Fisher was watching him out of the corner of his eye, so he touched his ear, giving the signal that he needed to talk. Then he quietly gathered his chips and headed back to the bathroom. He waited for Fisher to enter behind him, then went to one of the urinals in the far corner of the room. Fisher stood next to him, waiting for him to speak. Kevin made sure no one else was in earshot, then cleared his throat.